I think my voice sounds so hoarse today. Does it, or does it sound normal?
Keep talking.
Hey, Zach. What's up?
Maybe a little just raspy, but not that
right?
raspy.
It's just like a little bit. I think just change of season. Change because freaking Nashville decided to have a freaking whiplash.
We were on the road. We were out in Florida. We left.
Are you with Temecula?
With Temecula Road. We left on, when did we leave? Thursday?
Yeah.
We left Thursday. No, Friday. It was
wait,
hot.
Yeah, yeah.
It was
here?
Like, we left Friday, and I brought like a light sweater that I was going to wear in the hotel room because the band member that I normally sleep with likes the room so cold.
Really?
So I normally bring a sweater. So I was like, all I have is like a light sweatshirt that I was sleeping. No jacket, short
light
sleeves.
Jacket.
Nothing. We came back. It was 30 degrees. I don't know what happened.
My day-to-day, she was on the road with us this weekend, and she came back, and she left all of her windows open in her apartment.
Well, that's just dumb. You shouldn't do that in any circumstance.
I agree. But it was like 75 and sunny when she left, and she comes back, and it's like damn near snowing. And she's like, oh, God, this is not good. I'm like, yeah, you shouldn't have left your... That would stress me out so much.
No, I would never... I grew up in a very safe town. There was no crime in my town that I grew up in outside New York. Super safe. If I didn't lock the door at any point, my mother would scream at me.
Right?
Door was always
locked.
Well,
it's just like common sense, right? Like I live in a condo, like, you know, 17 floors up, and it's like literally like I leave the door open sometimes, and I'm like, oh my gosh.
You leave the door wide open to the condo?
Like not to the condo, like to like the balcony.
Oh, to the balcony.
Like, oh, it's nice out. Let me just let the air come in, and then I'm like, oh God. Like,
that feels a little different. Can I have my headphones down a touch? Is that possible? Awesome. Thanks. That feels different to me because I feel like a bird would fly in or something. I'd be worried about birds.
You know what? I've never had a bug or a bird in my apartment. Is that weird?
You know what? So my old apartment, that was the same deal. I never had...
Wait, did you move?
I moved, yeah.
I didn't come to your new place?
Yeah, okay. We're going to throw a housewarming
party. Wait,
that's
so sad. You lived there for like 2 years.
3 years. Is it sad,
when'd though? You move?
Ashley, you got to keep up. I mean, my God. It's
when did
like,
that happen?
You go out on the road, the world keeps moving.
Wait,
it's like,
note.
The world doesn't wait for you. You're
you
out on the road. What's the side note?
How we first met?
I remember exactly how we first met.
Wait, are we starting? Do you want to wait until we do this?
We're in. I'm already
okay, cool.
on.
All right, sounds like a plan. I didn't know.
What were you going to say? I remember exactly how we met.
This is why I'm sad that you moved, because this is like my like memory attachment to
you. I was going
to
bring this up, because literally you had just won the country showcase.
Like, this
was
2019?
Yeah. You were nobody. Nobody knew who you were.
Fresh out of school, out of Belmont.
How many followers did you have on Instagram? 5,000?
Maybe
6,000.
I wish I know that like exact number. Yeah,
you were a nobody.
It was super, super small. I just graduated from Belmont, and I was like trying to find a way to like just get to know people in town, right? And I get a text from Zach Kuhn himself saying, "Hey, do you want to come open up for somebody in my apartment?" And this is the apartment that you lived in that had like a venue in the like common space
That's
or whatever.
Exactly.
And I was like, sure." And so I show up and I open up for Gable Bradley that one night. Do you remember that?
That night, when I think back on about all the nights I've had in Nashville. Top 10.
Really?
Is that night.
Why?
Because it was, because I was relatively new in town. I think I'd been here for like less than a year.
Yeah. Wait, really?
Yeah.
And I thought you knew like everybody.
No. I just moved to town.
Huh.
I didn't know anyone. And I just had this idea of putting this show together in my apartment, booked Gable, booked you. We had someone else on the bill too. And how many people were in this place? It was like...
Oh, who was it, though? There was somebody in the middle.
It was Southbound. Was that the band?
No, was something similar, though. Something South.
They're signed to Black River. They're a duo signed to Black River.
Did they change their name?
Maybe they changed their name.
Because it was something else.
It was something else.
It'll come to us.
But I just moved here, whatever. Somebody said to me, you got to get Ashley Cook. I said, who's Ashley Cook?
I think it was
Cook?
Lauren Weintraub.
Lauren Weintraub.
Yeah.
Put your name in. Gave me your number. I texted you. You played. And I think, what do we have? Like 200 people in
this
apartment. It was packed.
It was packed. The place was packed.
It felt like the kind of thing that you could base an episode of like Drake and Josh on, or like a TV show on.
I mean, yeah. Like, I mean, honestly, too, like that whole next couple of months that I was trying to get my feet wet in Nashville, you were like a huge part of that because you booked me on like four different
bills.
We did
a whole bunch of shows.
Yeah. You would go around and like book Mercy Lounge and like all these different places, and you would have me on the shows.
We put all these bills together.
Yeah.
I was always a supporter of Ashley. You know why I always believed in Ashley?
Why?
Ashley has this effect. And people talk about this behind your back, so I don't know if you're aware
of
this.
Oh, God, tell me,
okay?
I'm scared.
You know what people say behind your back? They say that the second you meet Ashley, she makes you feel like you're her best friend. This is what everyone says.
You know, my manager always gives me crap for this because I actually
this
tell
manager,
everybody that they are my best friend. Yes,
Rekaya,
this manager is sitting in this room right now.
Are you the kind of person who has too many best friends?
Yes. I'm not kidding. Everybody that's close to me is always like, oh, another best friend of the day. Because I truly feel like I make really, really close connections with people very fast.
Yeah.
So it's not like I'm doing that to be like, oh, yeah, friend, huh? Actually, don't care. Like, I actually feel like I'm somebody's best friend quickly.
Why do you think that is?
I think I just skip past like the surface level stuff. I just want to get to like hey, what's your childhood trauma? Let's bond over it. I'm just kidding. That's
real saying. Like,
it's like, to me, it's like, why waste time on the small talk, right? Let's get to know each other and actually become friends. And if we're tight, dope. If we're not, wish you well, you know?
Move on.
So it's like, why
not
have a million
best friends? Let's
figure
out fast if we're going to be friendly. If we're not, let's just not waste any time. Let's move on.
And of course I have like my inner circle of people that I'm like, wow, like I would die for this person. They're my like people. But I feel like I don't have a ton of just like acquaintances. To me, it's like, if we vibe, let's go get dinner and hang out and talk for 3 hours, right?
Yeah.
Because why waste time? We're all friends. Let's connect.
Who's in the inner circle?
Oh, gosh.
Spencer Crandall?
I'd say Spencer
Crandall makes the inner circle.
He's like one of my
Give me a couple others.
Friends.
Who else is in the inner that we might know about?
My sister.
Jen.
Obviously. Yeah.
Jen has to be inner circle.
This is hard to like put me on the spot. I don't know.
Whoever you don't mention is going to be so.
I know.
It's going to be very offended.
I have some really, really great friends. I will say that. Like some phenomenal great friends. Best friends that have had my back, and I feel like I can really trust them. And
will you call Spencer? You've said in interviews that you will call Spencer literally in tears about industry stuff.
Yeah. 100%.
And he's got your back. You can talk to him about any of this.
You know, I don't know if you're a person of faith. I am, but like, it's crazy how God will place people in your life at certain times. Like, Spencer and I were always, like, mutual friends. We, you know, we got along. We would hang out and stuff. But, like, this past year really is when we got to become really, really close friends. And he just gets it, and so do I, because we're in the same kind of situation. And a lot of the same things throughout this past year we've experienced. So we've both called each other at times just, like, I'm tired. Or, like, I don't want – this sounds horrible because I don't want to sound this way. But, like, you get what I'm saying. I'm just, you know, whatever. And it just – it's really great to have people – in your circle that also get what you're going through, because they can get pretty lonely at times, and Spencer just gets it.
He gets it, right?
100%.
So you, and does he ever call you and complain?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
All the time. This isn't a one-way street.
You know, it's funny because I was on my publishing company's writer bus this past week, and I was writing songs with some other amazing writers. And
this is a big deal. So because right now you're touring, you're opening up for Colt Sundell, but you're in a van, right? You're in a Sprinter van.
Yeah.
So the publishing company says, take the bus for the weekend, and now for the weekend you're in a bus.
Yeah.
Is that how it works?
I will say, I mean, I'm biased because I'm with them, but Big Loud is like the best company on the freaking planet.
They've got a bus.
For real.
Yeah.
It's not even just like they have a bus. They just really care for their artists, young and experienced. And like, it doesn't matter to them like who's at a certain place. They're like, we're going to take care of you if you're on our roster. They're just amazing. It's insane. But
now that you've been on the bus, see, I feel like you get a taste of the bus. You can't go back to the van.
Okay, so people call me crazy for this. I genuinely love the van phase.
Really?
I mean, of course, you know, you sleep on the, what's it called, the bench seat, like, most nights, and you're stuffy, and you feel gross.
You guys don't get hotels? Like, with Temecula Road, we'll get cheap hotels. We've never slept in the van once.
I mean, we do, but, like, in between, we have, you know, with the routing, this routing for the Colt Sundell tour, we've also been on tour with, like, Jordan Davis and Brett Young and amazing people this past year, and they're obviously in buses, so we have to kind of follow
keep
the bus
up.
Route.
You gotta keep up.
Yeah,
we're
so,
doing
like,
that now, because we're
exactly.
going out with Breland.
Yeah,
and
oh my gosh, I went out with Breland.
I know, it was the first big tour you got,
first
right?
One.
It was
yep.
You and Breland, and we have to do that. Because when you went out with Breland, I feel like both you guys were probably in Sprinters.
Yeah, I think
now,
so.
Now,
yeah.
There's going to be shows where after we come off the stage, we have to get in the van, drive 4 or 5 hours, wake up the next morning.
We've had like 9 hours in between shows, which is what I'm saying is like, you know, we'll pass out on the van bench. Sometimes we'll drive through the night to get home. Like,
do you ever drive or is anyone... Because
I want to, but they don't let me. I'm kidding.
Do they not let you because you're a bad driver?
No.
They're just like, hey, you need to be top A game. You can't have the stresses of driving
on you. You know,
I've never
asked them why they don't let me drive.
They really won't let you drive, though?
It's not that they won't let me. First off, I've never, like, pushed because I'm like, I don't really want to drive. But also,
no,
like,
I've never driven once.
Really?
And nobody's ever asked me to, but I don't push to drive at all. It's the worst. I sleep. I work. I read. I'm so content.
My band guys are just the greatest.
They
like,
drive.
They like volunteer to drive.
How many people do you go out with right now?
Two. It's two band guys.
You don't have a TM or anything?
I do. Yeah, I have like a day-to-day that comes out. We've honestly, this past year has been a lot of like trying to shift to figure out like the permanent team members. Like my band guys are obviously like they're my like content girl. Her name's Alana McArdle. She's amazing. She's out with us a lot of the days. And then Emily Cruz is my day-to-day, and she's kind of taken on the role as TM because, again, so much happened so fast this past year. Like, we just got, like, all of a sudden tour offers and all this stuff happened. And, like, Southwest Radio and, like, all of this stuff just crazy happened. So we didn't have a TM in place. Like, when we started this year, it was me and my guitar player and my drummer going out on every single run. Like, we had nobody else with us. And so
we've
kind of been putting pieces together and trying to figure out how to grow at, like, the right pace, you know?
Is the, and are they advancing the shows and knowing, like, we could, if we didn't have our TM, we'd figure it out, we'd make it work.
Yeah.
But he's a massive help. Like, just 100%. Getting us there on time, saying, hey, this is when we're leaving the hotel, here's the routing, even looking up coffee shops. Like, you can do it without a TM, but, like, who was advancing the shows?
It's
or
tough.
Who was doing that when without a TM?
Yeah, so I have two managers, Rekhi Marshall, who's amazing. She's here right now. Hello.
She's here right now in the room.
And
yeah.
Drew Magid, who's also incredible. Yeah. He used to like TM for like Imagine Dragons and Florida Georgia Line. So he's, you know, they tag team my career wholeheartedly. And Drew is really great with like logistics and the road because he used to be a very, very seasoned TM. I guess technically still is, but he's just not on the road. So he's really great with like, you know, advancing shows virtually. And obviously, as we grow and progress, it's good to have somebody on the road that can look up coffee shops and help with just like day to day like things that if being there.
Yeah.
So
or even
minute,
just to like yell at someone at the venue who sucks. It's great if the TM can do that, so the band can be in good graces.
Fair.
Our TM does that like all the time. He puts people in their place who you know are not great.
Yeah, we've had some great people come out this past year. You know, TMs are hard to come by.
They're hard
great
to come
ones.
By. Right?
Yeah, they're just tough because most people already have a gig. I think COVID kind of hurt the industry a little bit when it comes to like finding TMs and stuff. But there are some incredible people out there that just most of them are already with bands. And I'm like, I don't want to poach somebody.
Yeah.
So it's just been tough to find like a permanent person. But we've had some great people out with us this year.
No, I believe it. So you've got a great setup right now because just you, drummer, guitar player, tracks and the set's fantastic. But are you going to put more players in eventually or do you like it? Like Hardy doesn't even have a bass player out with him. And I've talked to Tracker and he says he might never have a bass player. He's content without one.
You know, it's funny. We were just talking about that right before I came here. Maybe. I think it's important to have a really dope stage setup and maybe have, like, that space filled. But honestly, too, my band guys are so talented. It's insane. And so, like, we've gotten by really great without another person. At some point, I think we'd love to just add one person at least to the mix, whether it's, like, a utility that could play multiple instruments or what. But we'll see. I mean, our family is really tight-knit right now, so it's going to be interesting to add somebody into that. We're excited to bring somebody
in. You think, and this is something that's like very cool, like this is a pop thing, like Billie Eilish will play Bridgestone and it's her and her brother and a drummer. It's three people on stage. So you actually picture there is a chance that as this grows, you're not going to expand the band. You're content with the way it is. It's a little different, isn't it?
I will say I'm really content with the way that it is. I think that the way that my band guys play is just phenomenal. Like they can make it sound like a 10-piece band with just the three of us, which is really something to say about them and the work
how they do
put
that
in.
Because what are they doing that makes it so big? Can you describe it?
First off, they're just both talented. The way that they play just sounds big in my mind. Also, we have Tracks. You know, my producer Jimmy Robbins crushed the production and they've found ways to fill the space and make it sound really big. Also, Chauncey Arner, who's my guitar player, he moves around the stage really well.
He walks around with
you. He's wireless. And so literally, you know, if I'm moving this way, he's moving that way. If we're on the catwalk, we just kind of find ways to like fill the space as, you know, time goes on throughout the show.
And do you have anything coordinated or early on where you kind of getting in
Nothing.
Each other's ways or no?
Weirdly enough, I've never coordinated like a show thing ever, like where to go. Even Cole Swindell, during the show, he lets me come out and do Never Say Never with him, which is obviously always a huge honor. We've never once like coordinated what we were going to do. It just kind of happens and it flows naturally. Same thing, Dylan Marlowe opens up for this tour and he's come out to sing Between You and Me with me, a song that Roman Alexander and I did. And every time we don't have, there's no like communication about it. We're just like, let's just vibe and see what happens. So you know,
when you played the Ryman a couple weeks ago,
crazy, right?
Crazy.
I played the Ryman, Zach.
Ashley Cook plays the Ryman. We were trying to figure out how to sell 200 tickets in an apartment.
I know.
Now you're playing the Ryman. When you played the Ryman, you asked Roman to come out with you and sing that song, right? So is that just like, hey, this would be such a cool thing to bring a friend along? And how great would it be to like to bring someone else into this experience with me of playing the Ryman? Is that kind of what you were thinking when you asked Roman to play
Roman
the Ryman?
Roman to play the Ryman.
Roman to play the Ryman?
Yeah, I mean, 100%. I've known Roman for a hot minute now, and he asked me to go on that song, Between You and Me, early on in what I was doing. He believed in me to come on that song. And that song was already in my set, and usually Dylan comes out and does it with us, but Roman had never stepped foot in the Ryman, like even to see a show. He had never been there.
What?
Yeah, crazy. And so that was his first time being at the Ryman.
Ever being in the Ryman?
Yeah. So
and
I was
did
like,
you know that when you asked him to play the Ryman?
I didn't, but it was that more special when
And
I
what,
found
he
out.
Shows up and he says...
I say, it's my first time being in the Ryman. I was like,
"That's
no way!
That's insane.
So, you know, I'd like to say that it's like, oh yeah, I want to bring friends along, but honestly, just surrounding yourself with good people and getting to you know, bring them along for the ride, you get to see those cool moments come to fruition, you know, like, and say, wow, like, you believed in me and you wanted me on your song early on. And now I get to bring you to come sing with me at the Ryman. And it's just surrounding yourself with good people that have the same kind of mindset and align with you.
When do you rehearse that song? Like at soundcheck or do you even? So you're just like, hey, Roman, come in for soundcheck. We'll run this at soundcheck.
Basically, yeah.
I mean, and then you just winged it.
Same thing. Yeah, I mean, granted, Roman and I have done that song live a good bit of times.
Many times.
Yeah, because it's been out for, I think, a year and a half. I'm bad with timelines. I don't know. So that song was huge streaming-wise for the both of us. And so, you know, he's come out to do some dates on, like, the Brett Young tour, and I've come out and done some on his, so... We've kind of done that.
It's fun to have those partners that you can kind of...
100%. I love duets. I love collaborating in any sense of the word.
So when you're going back, so when you're on stage with Cole, and you're nothing's coordinated, you're just kind of vibing this out.
100%.
But it kind of looks like you guys are sort of in sync. Is he leading because it's his show, it's his band, it's his set? Are you sort of looking at him to see what he does and responding off of that?
I think we just vibe. I don't know how to
explain
it.
There's just a vibe there.
It's just like, and maybe I do kind of follow his lead. Like, you know, if he wants to cross over, I can kind of tell when he's heading that way. And so I'll just cross too. Or, you know, we played, what was it? I think Faster Horses. Yeah. I played on a smaller stage earlier this year. And Cole was playing that main day. And he asked me to come up and do Never Say Never with him to, like, I think it was like 40,000 people. It was nuts. And like that, we've never had that big of a catwalk with like a big landing at the end in like our normal tour set. So we had to kind of figure it out and see what we wanted to do. And yeah, I think you just kind of follow along and, you know, hold your own whenever you need to, and you just kind of vibe with it. It's just a feeling.
It's a piece of cake.
I don't know about that.
This is not hard. Is what it seems like. Is that what I'm hearing? You just show up, you vibe.
I mean, I wouldn't say it's not hard. I think, you know.
No, I think it's really hard.
Yeah, I think it's hard in the most beautiful ways, I guess is the way to say it.
Do you feel like you're getting better as a performer at this point?
100%. I think
But how? Like, what areas do you think you're improving in?
That's an interesting question. I have to think back now. I think comfort. I'm a perfectionist, especially when it comes to shows. Like, I want everything to be exactly how it is. Like, already have kind of thought it through, manifested what I want it to look like and how I want it to sound, what I want to say. Like, I kind of have all those things bullet pointed in my mind. And so the more that you do it, the more you kind of take a deep breath before and just, like, let it fly and just have fun and interact with people in the crowd. And I think I've just gotten more comfortable with, like, being more comfortable, I guess is the way to say it. I've always kind of had a natural knack for working the stage and talking to people. But I think now it's like when you have a show run on tracks and you're so like regimented on what you want to do and how you want to do it, having the freedom to be able to like be like, yo, stop the track, talk, or like
you'll
whatever.
Do that. You'll say what in the middle of a song or
not in the middle of a song. I mean, it depends. It really, and this is, I think, the beauty of touring that this is, you know, to your question of how have I improved. Every single show, there's different nuances that are so fun to lean into. And you have to have the comfort of knowing like, yo, I can do this. Like, this is my stage right now for these, you know, 40 minutes or however long I'm up here. This is an Ashley Cook show, and they're going to get their money's worth for what they want to see. And so you own it, and you have fun with them, and you say happy birthday to people that have signs that say happy birthday, and you take people's hats, and you just have a
good time. What's an example? Like, have you done something recently or, like, interacted with someone in the crowd or taken a sign of, like, a happy birthday sign, like, anything that really stands out? Sometimes you see videos like this on YouTube. Yeah.
I always take people's hats. I always, you know.
You steal them or they're usually giving them to you?
They'll usually like chuck them on stage or I'll take them. It depends on how close we are.
You'll take them.
Again, every nuance of the different shows.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a girl, it was her first show and her first concert ever. And I was just like, what's up? Like, I'm so happy. Like, how are you feeling tonight? Just kind of talking to her. And you just have to be in those moments and like interact and have the space and the comfort to be able to do that, I guess is the way to say it. So my band guys also know, like, if I start talking, like, they can kind of chill out for a minute. Yeah, but we've all grown together so much this past year, especially to know kind of like when they want to swell back in and when they want to do this and how they want to fill the space if I need them to.
Yeah.
We've kind of learned how to do that this year. So
yeah,
it's been fun.
When you played the Country Showcase, everyone always talks about this.
Who's everybody?
No, like this always gets brought up in interviews, like that you played the Country Showcase. And by the way, if you go back and you watch it, because I was watching it.
God, don't watch it.
No,
I was
watching it this afternoon and I thought that you actually, like, given the fact that that was your first show in, like, 4 years,
yeah,
you look, like, really pro in it.
Thank you. Honestly, that show was so bizarre. I mean, my now agent, you know, Carrie Murphy.
Yeah, she discovered you.
Yeah,
well, I don't know if she discovered you, but she met you at that show.
I don't think I would have really given music a full shot without her telling me what she did.
This doesn't make any sense to me, though.
What do you mean?
Because you basically, you've been doing music your whole life.
Yeah.
And then you basically spent 4 years in college not doing music.
Yeah, I studied marketing and communications at Belmont.
But how did you think, how did you, I just don't understand how you, it kind of feels like you sort of gave up on the dream a little bit.
I wouldn't say gave up. I think it was one of those things that, again, I was 11 when I wrote my first song and played my first show in LA. I mean, I was so young. I homeschooled all throughout middle and high school. I went to some public schools here and there, moving around all the time. My life was music, right? I grew up as a childhood musician, actor, all those things.
Is that because you were pushing for those things? Because you just wanted to be a musical person? So were you asking for lessons or to play a show? Like,
100%.
I just don't think at 11, I didn't have that much dedication to do anything.
You know, it's weird. I moved around a lot growing up.
Yeah.
I always say I'm from Florida, but I spent a lot of time in so many different cities throughout my childhood. My dad's job. And
you moved like 19 times
is insane.
Growing up.
Yeah. And my sister got into acting really young. And so we went from Wisconsin, where I was born. I could take you down the rabbit hole of all the places that I've lived, but I won't do that. We went from Wisconsin to California, and she got into acting, right? So I was a normal, sporty kid, didn't really have anything to do with entertainment, didn't want the spotlight. She gets into acting. We moved to L.A., I'm immediately surrounded by all of it.
Yeah.
So it kind of was like a natural pull to want to be in entertainment because I was surrounded by it. Your friends want to do soccer, you do soccer. So I was just kind of engulfed in it and
yeah.
wanted to do it when I was
so
young.
So what do you do at 11? Like, who's setting up shows for you at 11? How do you do anything at 11? I was setting up lemonade stands. Like, I was doing that too.
But
how do you do anything at 11, though, that resembles, like, yeah. anything music industry?
You know, I think I got into performance classes super young. Again, your friends do soccer, you do soccer. A bunch of my friends from...
That sometimes happens. They're doing construction.
Okay, I was like,
on the building next door.
Bombs are going off. Okay, anyways.
We almost die in here. It's fine. I don't know if you're going to hear that
okay.
on the audio.
It
sometimes
like you
that
just
happens.
Burped really loud or something.
They're blowing up the foundation, like, next door.
We all were like...
And occasionally that happens. But we were talking about how Ashley was at 11. She
yes.
was already making strides
yeah.
in the music industry.
You know, again, moved to LA when I was like 10 or 11 and started doing homeschool because my sister was doing homeschool. And all of my friends at the homeschool places that I would go to were in acting, were series regulars on Disney shows, were the siblings of major, you know, actors, singers at the time.
Did you feel at 11 that you were already falling behind in the world? Because sometimes you can fall prey
yeah.
to that trap in the entertainment industry.
Thankfully, no.
No, you didn't have that feeling. Even though your friends were on these major shows or whatever, you didn't feel like, oh my God, I'm already behind. I'll never catch up at 11.
You know, no, I never felt that. I think because everybody at that age especially was on their different paths. Like one of my friends was the sibling of a massive, you know, celebrity, but really didn't want to be in entertainment. Now she is, but like didn't want to back then. And like I think everybody kind of had their own path. Some of my friends were just hanging out around everybody but didn't want to do it, and then they got into it after I did. So like it just kind of, even now being, you know, 25, I don't feel behind or ahead of anybody. I think it's just everybody has their own path and what they
yeah.
you know, where they're at. You know, some people break when they're 35.
That's kind of easy to say though, but isn't that hard to feel? Sometimes you see people doing insane things and then it's
like,
oh my God. Especially now with TikTok, because now you see people doing crazy things
yeah.
and then you realize they're like 18. And like,
all power to them.
Power
I'm not a very, like, I'm not like a super competitive person, like,
yeah.
to be honest. Like, full transparency, I've never really had that. And I think sometimes it's easy to have those, like, wait, but why don't I have that? Or why do they have that? And I, whatever. But like, I just keep reminding myself, you know, I'm way ahead of where I wanted to be last year. You know, every year I manifest in a journal a bullet point of what I want to accomplish per year. And I'm already, like, leaps and bounds ahead of what I wanted to do.
What was the bullet
year.
Point? Is it private, or what was the bullet point for
like,
this year?
I think it was like hitting a certain number of followers on social media and like booking one major tour, and I've been on three. Like, it's just crazy how like things like that happen, that you set goals and then you just go win. So I think to me, it's pointless and it's just not worth it to like compare myself to other artists, because they have different paths than I do. And like, I'm going to do more than they do, and they're going to do more than I do, or less or more. It doesn't matter. You
but
know?
You'll write this in a journal. And when do you do this? Like New Year's or
yeah,
the beginning
like,
of the year?
Like January, yeah.
You have a journal?
Mm-hmm. I journal every night.
You journal every night.
Mm-hmm.
But do you keep track of this one bullet point?
100%. I don't look at it until the new year.
Until
so, like,
the following new year?
Yeah.
And do you run out of space in the journal? Or you?
Sometimes. It just depends.
But you keep that page in the journal, or you keep the...
Yeah, I'll always go back to it.
Yeah.
Because just like scripting, manifesting, I believe in it so much.
Yeah.
So like if I'm like, hey, you know, it is now January 1st, 2023, and I have, you know, a song that's number one on the radio and a song that blah, 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 like all just script as if it's already happened, which, you know, I've done a lot of research on it and people really believe in it because then you kind of set your mind to it. You manifest it happening and then hopefully it does. And it's crazy how like the year before, so like 2021, I manifested so much for this year and it like creepily has already happened. Yeah. So, nuts.
But you equate a piece of that to the fact that you wrote it down in a journal?
I don't know how to equate. I think it just sets your mind, right? I think it's hard to get what you want if you don't know how to ask for it. And I think that, you know, if you can ask yourself for it and you set your mind to it, then your team can kind of rally around what you want to do and the goals that you have. Otherwise, you're just kind of shooting aimlessly, you know, like make it. Is that the goal? To make it?
Yeah.
If that's the goal, how the hell do you get there? It's just, that's like very overwhelming and a lot to think about. So I think of it year by year, like, hey, this is exactly what I want to achieve this year. And hopefully we make it further than that. If we don't, we have the next year to keep going. But like, this is what I think is reasonable and what I hope to achieve this year. Fill my team in. Let's go get after it. You know?
So here's what I don't understand. I don't understand how you're pursuing music and then you take 4 years off at Belmont to get a communications degree. Mm-hmm. You often say that, you know, that's really helped you as an artist, studying marketing, studying communications. But is that really true? What do you learn in communications that you apply today? Like, is that a line or is that real?
No, it's
what do you learn
real.
In a, like, what kind of classes do you take with a communications degree?
So, okay, backstory. I first went to Belmont as a music business major, right? I liked it, but a couple months into school, I was like, you know what? If I want to do this, I want to just go get an internship on Music Row. I don't really want to spend 4 years studying this.
Yeah.
No hate on the program at all. It's amazing. It's phenomenal. But me personally, I was like, I want to go challenge myself and try something different. Communications, you have classes like persuasion and public speaking and all this stuff. And there's some phenomenal professors at Belmont.
So what do you learn in a persuasion class? Like that's fascinating. Was that?
Yeah, it is fascinating.
What is that? Like, what are you learning? What's the syllabus for Persuasion 101?
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why I use so much of this in music, too. Like persuasion, for example, they give you all the different tactics to kind of, it's not really get what you want. It's more like find a way to compromise in a way that also makes you happy, makes both parties happy. And you like fake persuade with people in your class and they give you like things like, hey, these are your terms. These are their terms. So business wise, like when I was negotiating a record deal, like those things came to mind. And like,
what are some of those terms? Do you remember? Or is it just a mindset that you take away from the class?
Oh, I have my books I could pull out. I don't remember. What I do remember the most, though, not from persuasion, but it was from public speaking courses.
Yeah.
Which, again, I've been speaking and performing my entire life in front of crowds of
people.
You
seem like a natural. Like, I have a hard time thinking.
Okay. This is the thing, though.
Break it down for me.
Thank you for saying I was a natural. Thank you.
I just think, like, talk.
You have to also fall back on education when it comes to those moments, right? Like, you learn pathos, ethos, logos. Do you know what any of these mean?
Yeah.
Like, you learn, like, the fundamentals of public speaking and how to persuade people and capture people, right? So like we would give public, you know, speeches to our class having to use logic and ethos and emotion and all these different things in your class, right? And so it taught me as a performer, okay, to structure my show, right? I want to pull people's emotions on this song. I want to have them have fun on this song. I want to use, you can use different ways and different avenues to deliver a message. And that's really important when it comes to music and performing. And I think a lot of performers naturally have that, but like knowing what you're doing is that much more powerful.
That's what I was going to say is that I feel like I think what you have on stage, you're very charismatic and very relatable. And I don't think that's something you're learning in a communications class, but maybe you're able to put more meaning to it. Or maybe that is something that you can enhance in a class.
Enhance, that's the word.
You think,
enhance.
Yeah.
I don't think, I mean, I don't know, but I think it would be harder to take somebody that's never performed or never public spoke and then, you know, give them these four things to use and then they go up in there and just deliver a speech. I think that's a lot more difficult. I think for somebody that has a natural knack for performing and has done it their whole life, equipping them with more skills to know kind of like, hey, in this part of the set, maybe use this story and tell it this way, right? And that will get them to feel this emotion.
So what do you open the set with right now?
It's a song called Getting Somewhere.
Right. Why is that a great opener?
I think it's fun because the topic of it's like now we're getting somewhere. And it's just the vibe, the band guys and I have tried multiple different songs first. And that just feels like you just want to get into it. It's just, you know, a vibe and it's fun to start on. And also the intro track that we use is always kind of lined up to that. And it's always been like the fun one to start on.
Yeah.
Granted, we're doing, you know, an album coming out hopefully this next year. We don't have many details yet, but I have a lot more songs that I'm recording. So hopefully,
so that could change.
Yeah, 100%. Also, but set times and everything just
changes,
you know,
so it fluctuates.
Fluid.
But
yeah.
What's the flow right now of the set? Like, are you thinking, okay, that's a great opener, and then like, okay, song number two, let's hit them with some emotion, or like, are you thinking about these public speaking lessons
things.
To communicate?
I mean, music
across.
Is the same kind of thing, right? The same, yeah. Even though you're not speaking, it's the same. You want to convey an emotion and kind of string them all together. For me, I want to start with as much energy as possible because I'm like, let's go. Let's get them all.
Yeah, you don't
want to
start off boring.
100%.
That sucks. Can't do that.
So typically for us, we power it out with three songs to start. So it's like, you know, boom, 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 energy back to back. And then I pick up my guitar and I talk for the first time. And I'm like, hey, guys, what's up? Like, I'll talk to the crowd, talk to the city, say something about the city or kind of something personal and fun. And then, you know, the whole show kind of runs through. We have some mashups. We have some cool covers that we do. And then I tell my story, like my whole life story, using cover songs, which is always a fun time. So, yeah, it's fun. And then I play Never Till Now, which is obviously, you know, the radio song that we've had this year that's done a ton. It's been crazy what that song has done. And then we end on Sunday morning, kind of Saturday night, which is one of the first songs that I ever put out. So.
And do people get that? Because you've got a lot of fans who come out to these shows and they've been following you for a minute.
It's nuts.
So they understand that when you close the song, that, you know, with Sunday morning, kind of Saturday night, that's the first song you ever put out.
Like, I don't know if they fully like get that, but I think that they've been following me for a long time, so they're like, yeah, this song is like an OG. You
know? Yeah, they
like,
know
before
it.
I signed a record deal, before any of this stuff happened. So
yeah, right. Yeah. So okay, so I mean, there's so much happening.
It's nuts. This year is crazy. And, you know, hopefully it just keeps going.
So you play the showcase and then you win the showcase.
Yeah.
So this is what's crazy is you basically are like, I'm not going to do music. Communications, marketing, 4 years go by.
Yeah. And it wasn't that I don't want to do music. It was more so, hey, I'm 18.
Yeah.
I've spent so much of my life already doing this.
Music.
And it's not that I don't want to do it. It's just that I want to give myself the freedom to make the decision of what I want to do, right? So let me go to college. Let me join a sorority. Let me be like kind of a normal college kid, still in Music City, still where I'm able to meet people. And it's funny because so many of the people that I met in school, in the business school, like are still now in the music industry in Nashville. And I'm like, wait a minute, we were dorm mates and, you know, across the hall. And now you work in this publishing company. It's just Belmont. It's Nashville. It's just the way that it rolls.
Yeah.
But it wasn't that I didn't want to or that I was like giving up on it. I just wanted to give myself the freedom to figure out who I wanted to be and what I wanted to do. And that's when that showcase happened my senior year. I was kind of like, you know, I'm just going to apply. You know, I've watched some amazing artists come through Belmont do this showcase. Might as well try and just give it a shot. Had no clue that I was going to win. And I won the showcase. And my agent, Carrie Murphy, she was sitting with me in one of these rooms afterwards when they give you like the feedback as the judges. And she was like, I think you owe it to yourself to just give it like a year. Just give it a year. You have like the raw talent. You don't have the songs or like the brand quite yet, which I knew. But she was like, you know, you have this thing about you that I think you need to just go give it a shot and see what you can do, right? And so I did, and that's when I met you, and then the pandemic happened, and then TikTok, and yeah.
Whole thing, and here we are now. But did you apply because you felt like actually, after 4 years of college, you actually felt like maybe you did want to go down an artist path? Or was it sort of just like a whim? You were like, well, I'll do this, but I'm also doing this, and I'm doing that. Like,
I think a lot of it, I mean, it's hard to say what I was thinking back then. I think a lot of it was there's this massive passion that I have for music that I've always had for music that I'm like, oh, but there's this opportunity and it'd just be fun to do, right?
Yeah.
Like I know I have a performing knack. I know that I have songs that I've written. I've seen people do it before. Let's just send it and see what happens, right? Let's just have fun and go perform for thousands of people because like, why not? It's senior year, cap it off, have fun. Then I'll just go work in a desk job and have a good time, right? I didn't know.
But you'll always have that memory on like a work retreat on like, what's a fun fact about you? One time I won the country showcase. That's what you were kind of thinking.
Exactly.
And if Carrie doesn't say to you, you know, I think you really have something, you should do this. Do you think you maybe wouldn't have leaned into it?
It's hard to say. It's hard to say back then.
But that really
like
changed your mindset.
Yeah. I'd like to think that it would, or that it wouldn't have mattered whether she said that or not. But it did change my mindset. I think just having somebody that is so seasoned in the industry and, you know, represents people and is an amazing agent look me in the eyes and be like, yo, like, you have something. And the other judges also gave amazing feedback. But Carrie was the one that I stayed close with throughout the next year or so, and now she's my agent. But it really just, I think, took somebody to look at me and say, like, hey, you've got it, kid. Like, just give it a shot and see what happens.
Yeah.
For me to be like, okay, well, I have two marketing jobs on the table that pay me a great salary. I could wear a suit every day and, you know, go to work. Like, kind of live this new life that's not what I did as a kid and all these dreams that I had. I'm just going to give it a shot. Those jobs will be there in a year. You know, I'm only 21 at the time?
Yeah, I don't know. You tell me.
Yeah. So I think it was, you know, all divinely influenced in my mind.
Isn't it crazy also? So now you're like going ahead. We're playing these shows and then the pandemic happens. And then like everyone knows, you start the 615 House, co-founder of the 615 House. And like all these artists that you pull together in this house are now also going on to do insane things.
Nuts.
And nobody believed in any of you guys out of the gate.
Isn't that crazy?
Which was crazy, right? I know. I felt like early on, everybody wrote you guys off. 100%. And now like 80% of the house, they all have record deals. They're all out 100%. Crushing it. Isn't that crazy?
I think it was a really fun time getting to bring people together. I think, you know, collaborating will always be something that I'm really proud of and want to be a part of in any facet of the word. And I just honestly, like, the 615 House was a really fun project for me and Chris Rudiger, my co-founder, because, you know, I saw the Hype House out in LA and I was like, wait a minute. This is working. There are these kids that are, you know, largely followed on social media, and they don't really have like a music or an acting or like a product to give people. They're just all together having a good time making videos, and it's blowing up. Yeah, and they're hot, and it's blowing up. And I'm like, what is happening, right? So I look at it, and I'm like, okay, hold on. Marketing brain is like, ding, ding, ding. I'm like, people really care about Nashville. They love the young artist songwriter community. They really want something to believe in. I know that because, you know, I used to play on Broadway and I would see people come in and be like, oh my gosh, like, you know, live music. They just want to be a part of the new wave of talent, right? I was like, this would be so much fun to like bring the people that are, you know, knowledgeable with social media and are on and are prioritizing that right now, signed or not, whatever it may be, you know, to bring them into a house together to just have fun and make videos and sing together and collaborate. If they want to write together, they can. If they don't, they don't have to. And it just became this community. And now it's everybody's careers have been blowing. I'm so proud of everybody in the house and what they've accomplished. Like, I'm just fortunate to be a part of their journey. You know?
Yeah. Do you look back on that time and do you think about, does that feel like a special time? Like, do you feel like you were present? Like, it's crazy because I feel like everyone at that time was probably like, how do we get record deals? How do we get on the road?
Yeah.
And now they're all kind of doing it. But that time felt like such a special moment.
I don't think any of us knew.
In history, I think some of these artists are probably going to become massive. And that's going to be in a textbook somewhere. The 615 House, right? Isn't that crazy?
I mean, it's crazy. And it's really special that we got to all kind of hang out at the very beginning phases of our career. I remember, you know, Priscilla was one of the first ones to like really hone in on like the iTunes number one and all of the stuff happening with a musical break on TikTok and like independently crushing it and like breaking a song, right? We were all together at 615 House when she dropped Just About Over You and went number one on iTunes. And that was the first time that had happened, I think, for a country artist. Like, and everybody was like, what's happening? Hold on. Let's take a minute to like process what's going on. So it's cool. It's really cool to get to, again, be a part of people's journeys and get to look back and be like, do you guys remember when it was like nobody was doing anything and like we were on social media and like we had all these articles come out and everything that was just crazy that was going on?
Yeah.
I mean, it was a fun time.
Do you feel like even though the house was special, do you feel like you could do that again today? Even pandemic aside, is the app too cluttered? Can you even get the numbers have today?
It's a great question. I don't know. It's so funny you say cluttered, right? I think as a new artist, it is like equally the most amazing fun time to be a musician and also like one of the hardest times, right? Because A, you have access to be able to just go post whatever you want and hopefully get, you know, followers and streams and views and all this stuff. So it gives you the freedom that the gatekeepers are kind of not as, you know, not as powerful, I guess. I mean, they are, but you know what I'm saying? But it also is a time where there's so much noise and so much going on that it's like hard to break through all of it because there's so much access now to both. So I don't know. I mean, I think that collaboration will always be key and will always win when it comes to social media and just, you know.
How many people hit you up though and they're like, I'm trying to break on TikTok. Can you give me some advice? Or can I buy you lunch and pick your brain? Or
all the time.
All the time.
And I love it. Right?
You love it? Because that to me gets annoying. People reach out to me about certain things. I'm like, I don't know. I don't have time for you. That's how I feel.
I love it. I don't always do it. Just being transparent. And it's not because
if it's your friends, you
to.
Always help your friends.
Yeah, it's
but
not because I don't
it's
want
randos,
to.
But sometimes it's randos, and it's like...
Yeah, but it's not because I don't want to or because I, like, you know, whatever. I think it's more because I can't tell them what the secret is because there isn't a secret. It really is just create content that genuinely is you and what you want to give the world, and if they like it, they will. If they don't, try something else. That's literally it. Like, And don't just like give up on it, in my opinion. It's like, yo, if you really believe that you're meant for this certain path, find your niche, right? Because we all had to do it. We all not all of our first videos popped off and continued to pop off, right? Some people's did, which is amazing. Good for them. But like, you have to find what works for you. You can't just like rely on whatever, you know?
Is your niche of content on TikTok, would you say, is it like lifestyle? Like music, definitely. And is it like music lifestyle? Because it feels sort of broad.
It is broad. You know, it's funny, we've been talking about that because I'm like, do I narrow it down or do I just keep kind of posting whatever I want and see what happens? I think the common thread of music will always be important on my page, but I think also like going live and posting videos of me just like telling a story about some girl that, you know, dressed up my hotel room in New York one day. Like,
great.
Yeah, like people.
And you wrote her a whole note.
Of course I did. I think.
What do you mean, of course you did? Most people, I saw that note was like long.
People that are kind to you, you got to be kind back. That's the rule of life. At least I think so.
But that, you could have said, thank you so much. Unbelievable. You wrote like a 3 paragraphs.
That, I don't think it was 3 paragraphs.
The entire page was covered
in
notes.
She took time out of her day to get balloons and leave me rosé.
I,
of course I'm going to take 5 minutes to write her a note. You know what I mean?
It wouldn't have even occurred to me. I don't even know where I would have gotten stationery from in this hotel room. I'm like...
Hotels have stationery.
Did you go to the front desk and ask for stationery?
No, they have like the little things that you just like, rip off. No, actually, I ripped off my notebook. The notebook that
and
I
you
journal
and
night.
How'd you know that she was going to see it?
I went to the front desk and she worked there. But also, like, I went to the front desk and told them, like, hey.
Point is, that was great content. I loved seeing that.
But that's what I'm trying to say, is I think also, you know, where I've seen some creators lack is, you know, that they focus so hard on one thing that people want to see more of them. Like, there's some creators I know that, like, phenomenal dancers, they're really attractive people, they're so much fun, people follow them a lot, but, like, they've never heard their voice before. And once they post a video of them talking, they're like, I've never heard her voice before. And so it's like, I think maybe this is the wrong approach, could be wrong, but I think give people a variety of stuff because they just want to know you and they want to know all facets of you. And that's kind of creepy, but also like it's the social media world we live in nowadays. And like, you know, going live and getting to respond to people and talk to people and answer their questions about, you know, what the hell ever they want to know. Like, that's important. Like, you want to give people what they want from you, I guess, in a lot of the senses.
I like that. You posted a clip recently, too, about this hack that you did. You were wearing a shirt that wasn't fitting right. And you, like, tore a sports bra apart to make this shirt work.
But see, like, that video did pretty great. It, like, reacted really well. And everybody was like, I love how real you are. And I'm like,
yeah,
okay. Like, I'm not trying to, like, be or not be real. It's just, you just got to, like, I don't know. I think post whatever you want throughout the day. And if it works, it does. If it doesn't, then it doesn't.
So will you just go through your day and then will you just be inspired by, oh, this could be a good video or this was something fine to happen, let's just shoot right now?
100%.
And your videos look really clear. Are you just using an iPhone?
Just TikTok on my iPhone, yeah.
And a ring light or anything? No. Why do your videos look clearer than everyone else's? I swear to God, I always think they look a little bit sharper than everyone else's videos.
Well, thank you.
But
I don't know.
Really just an iPhone that you're using.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm in my apartment, then I have a ring light, but I don't even turn it on like 90% of the time. It's just like sitting on my thing. It's just natural light.
It's natural
light. Natural light, baby. Natural light. It's always.
Nailed it. okay, wait. We've got 2 songs coming out this Friday.
We do.
This is going to come out tomorrow. Running Back, which I think is really clever.
Thank you.
This is a clever play on running back, the player on a football field. Running back to you. Some heavy hitter writers on this. Emily Wiseband, Will Weatherly.
Yes, sir.
This is a clever idea, actually. Running back and kind of using that in different ways. Is that something that you bring into the room, or who comes up with this kind of idea for running back?
You know, it's so funny because I've been writing songs since I was 11, right? And so I typically will bring like a list of titles into the room. I'm a big title writer. Like, I love to start with a title and then kind of like, you know, frame it out and then write based off what we think like needs to fit in certain places. That's like my for songwriting. But with Emily and Will, we also wrote Getting Into, another song that I put out recently. Both of those songs, Getting Into and Running Back, I didn't come in with a title. We just all are friends. And so we were just talking about situations and relationships and whatever. And those titles just like came out of us. Like, we just like in the room were like, well, that'd be a really cool title, right? So Running Back, I was talking about, you know, an ex situation and whatever and, you know, just different ways. And we all kind of had the same situation or the same like thought about a situation in the past. Like, neither one of us were still hung up on it, but we all were just like, yeah, you know, it's so funny. There's always somebody that you end up running back to, right? Or, like, want to. And I had, like, you know, newly been, like, dating somebody or, like, seeing somebody. And I was talking about it, and I was like, you know, this is the first person that I've not wanted to go run back to that other person and see, you know, whatever. And so we start talking about it, and I'm like, running back could be a really cool title. Like, I always go running back, or, like, you know, I'd go running back. And I think Emily was the one in the room that was like, is there a football thing here? Should we do the football thing? Like, talk about a running back? And I'm like, you know, it's funny because personally for me, the person that this song is about for me is not a running back. He was never played football. But to me, it's like the storyline is so beautiful and so many people have that like high school love that they fell in love with that they can't get over. And it kind of just paints that young love that you know, want to go back to when you're older and you can never fully move on because you always want to go running back to them. So yeah, it's a fun song and I think it's a really cool way to paint it. And the chorus hits me so hard and it's just, I'm excited for it.
What's happening with you and Taylor Holder? You guys were very cozy in the in the music video. Everybody's asking
this,
right?
He's the best. He's great. Yeah.
You have to understand though, there was a very cozy scene.
100%.
In Back in the Saddle with you guys. Everyone wants to know.
I'm
Someone
sure
called
do.
Me and said, I think Ashley and Taylor are dating.
Oh, did they?
Yes. It seems logical. It's a logical conclusion to draw from the video.
Sure. Totally logical.
Totally logical.
Totally.
I think the silence says everything. But I don't know. I don't know what's happening.
All right.
I can't. The music video, did you know him before you casted him in the music video?
Yeah. Yeah, we met at CMA Fest this past year.
Where do you guys meet?
Like backstage at a show. I just played one of the main stages like over by like the riverfront. Or not the riverfront, but like something near that. I forget. What was it called? The Dr. Pepper stage.
The Dr. Pepper stage.
Yes. Yeah. And he was backstage, and I was like, oh my gosh, I know exactly who you are. Like, TikTok, what's up? And so we became friends, and yeah.
Yeah. And now he just put out a record or something, right?
He put out a song called Drive, yeah. He's crushing it.
Song called Drive,
yeah. He's awesome. He just kind of moved here. He's actually from Texas. People think he's like an L.A. kid, but he lived there for like 7 years.
Would you ever call him the way you'll call Spencer? Will you call Taylor?
You know, Taylor and I are like really tight. He's great. I think he's newer to the country music world. So I think, you know, what we were talking about, Spencer just gets it. Like, we just really get it. Taylor's, like, brand new to this world of country
brand
music.
New.
So I think he doesn't fully understand the same way that Spencer does. But I believe in him. He's great. I'm championing him. You know, yeah, he's awesome.
Would you be in a Taylor music video?
I don't know. He hasn't asked.
He hasn't asked.
I think about it.
Taylor, you gotta ask.
You know what's crazy, though?
Yeah, tell me what's
right
crazy.
Right after we did Back in the Saddle, his music video, one of my best friends from high school was the lead-in.
Really?
Crazy. And
that
I was like,
crazy.
What the heck? What a small world. Nuts.
Nuts.
Yeah.
But can't confirm. If this comes out, there's nothing to confirm or deny here. It's just.
Nothing to confirm or deny.
I don't know.
Love you, though.
We'll read into that. Ashley Cook on the podcast. Two songs coming out. On the Road. You got to follow her on TikTok. She's putting some of the best content out there.
Thank you.
What have we left out here? She just made her Opry debut.
Opry and Ryman the same week.
Same week?
Isn't that crazy?
Crazy.
Nuts.
How nice is that security guard at the Opry when you walk in?
He's the sweetest human
Who
ever.
Is that guy? He's the nicest guy on the planet.
Oh, I forget his name.
I don't know his name is either. He's the
so
nicest
great,
guy.
Though. Yeah. I was kind of confused, though, because nobody told me that was going to happen when I first walked in. And so I had all these cameras on me, and I was like, what is happening? Am I supposed to? And he was like, hey, welcome to the Opry. And
I got
like,
some things I think you'll like.
Yes!
Right? That's what he says.
Yes. And I was
know.
Like, okay. I was like, am I supposed to? I didn't know what I was supposed to do, but I just went with it. And he was really great.
And you have that thing, that plaque,
the reserved parking thing. They gave me so many things. I'm going to make like a.
What else did they give you?
They gave me like a pamphlet for the night, the reserved thing. They gave me like the packet that says like, you know, your song, like two spots or whatever for, you know, like the run of show kind of thing. They gave me just like a bunch of stuff, like really cool stuff. So I'm excited to.
Do you have a good memory of the Opry or did you kind of black out?
I want to say, I think I was like the most nervous for that more than anything else this year, which I don't really get nervous before shows. And I wouldn't say it was nerves like, oh my God, I can't do this. It was more like, I don't know what to expect, right? Because also, Ryman, I had my band, I had the tracks, it was our show, right? It was just a different stage, which it was like legendary Ryman stage, obviously. But like with the Opry,
you're playing with
totally
the Opry
different
band.
Yeah, completely different band. You run through it one time before it's like like the most chill rehearsal ever, like very last minute kind of like throw. So it was just different. And also like everybody's sitting and like really watching and listening, which is why the Opry is so special among a million other reasons. But I think it was just like, I typically as a performer, like I said, I start with energy, right? So I'm running on stage, having a good time, like sprinting around, like entertaining, right? And it feels like with the Opry,
it's not quite.
They just want to watch you.
Yeah.
They just want to watch you do what you do and be. And that's a lot, I think, to like, oh my God, they're all staring at me. You know what
do
I mean?
Do you feel like, and I feel like people always rise to the occasion at the Opry, they always give their best performance. I can't find a performance of this anywhere. Like, I tried to find, like, I was like, somewhere has got to be a performance of the Opry, of Ashley at the Opry. I can't find it anywhere.
Oh, interesting.
Do you feel, looking back, do you feel like that was an incredible performance? Or do you feel like, I don't know, do you feel like maybe the nerves got in the way a little bit? Or do you think it was really great?
I think it was really great.
Yeah. I believe it.
I think it was, you know, it was funny. I was talking to my guitar player about it afterwards because I also brought him with me and my producer, Jimmy Robbins, with me on that stage. And Chauncey was like, my guitar player, he was like, that almost kind of felt more like a graduation ceremony more than it did like a show. Because it's such a ceremonial, like introducing you into the circle and like telling your story. It's more like a ceremony than it is a show, right? Yeah. So it just feels different. Yeah, I mean, it was fun, but it was amazing. And I hope I can go back as soon as I possibly can. I loved it, but it's just different. And I think the first time you experience it, it's just a lot to take in at first. And also I was using wedges because I wanted to like take in the room noise.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of in-ears. And I'm so used to playing shows with in-ears now, especially because of this last year. So that was weird too. Like, I was like, do I sound horrible? I can't really hear myself. Yeah. I don't know. But everybody was like, you sounded flawless and amazing. Yeah. So I don't know.
The second time, I hear people say the second time is more, maybe more fun than the first time because
you're not like
freaking out.
Yeah.
And now you can just take in. You're like, holy crap.
100%.
This is the Opry.
Yeah.
I bet it was amazing though. I wish I could have seen it. Hopefully there'll be a video somewhere.
Hopefully. I think we have one. We
just somewhere. They record everything at the Opry. It's all archived. So somewhere, sometime I'll be able to see it.
100%.
Ashley Cook, thanks for coming in the studio.
Thanks for having me, Zach.
Overdue.
Yes. Honestly, we've been friends for so damn long.
So, well, we had you on like 2 years ago with Chris, and I was listening back to that episode this morning. But so much has happened.
So much has
happened. It was 2 years ago we did that.
That's crazy.
In 2020. Yeah.
It feels like life has just like flown by in the best way. But honestly, too, like my birthday's in June. I turned 25 in June. And like the other day I was like, yeah, I just turned 20. Oh, wait. I'm almost 25 and a half. I didn't just turn 25. I was like, what is happening? No. It's just flying by so fast.
Flying by.
Yeah. But thank you, for real. You're the best.
We appreciate you coming in.
Thank you.
This is great. New music coming out this Friday. Gotta listen. If you know, you know. If you know who people know now. They know about Ashley Cook. They know what's happening. And she's doing big things. So
That's
it. Ashley, we'll see you guys next time. What do we leave out? We get it?
We got
it. Wrap it.
That's a wrap, baby.
That's a wrap. All right. Oh, my goodness.
Hell yeah.
That's awesome. Done.